Praise the Lord. We're getting ready to look at this series again. We're looking at the 8 steps which are going to help us to attain destination life. Remember, our series began in John 10:10, particularly in the Amplified Version, where the Bible says that Jesus actually came to give us the abundant life. In fact, it should be, we should have and enjoy the abundant life to the full, to the overflow. We remember looking at that several weeks ago. And so we've been looking at the various steps that's going to help us to attain that place called destination life, whatever that destiny is for you. I play that video because sometimes we think we can't do it, but with God we can. I said a week or two ago that we don't fall into sin, we step into sin. So far we've gone through 4 of these steps. And if we do like Eve and listen to the word of Satan and meditate on that word, we're going to be influenced in our emotional realm, step 3. And consciously or unconsciously, you're going to begin to make decisions either for life or to destruction. We want what? The abundant life of God. And it's available unto us. Why don't we pray and get into the word today? Father, we love you. We've already prayed that you, the Holy Spirit, will go up and down every aisle, to go in and out of every road, to touch your people, heal them, deliver them, anoint them, appoint them for service. So we're here to be built up. I decrease that you might increase, none of me and all of you. I invite you, O Lord, to think through my mind and to speak through my vocal cords. I pray that you'll grant that miracle again today, that out of a preached word of God, each individual might hear a word from God. My belief is that everyone, as has been occurring, will receive what they need to hear today. Father, we're desiring the words of life, which is going to take us to the next level. And we believe that we receive that. Father, we trust you today. We have faith in you. We believe in you. We also trust you with our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Praise the Lord. Would you turn over in your Bibles? We're going to the book of Luke. And we're going to look at today the next step. Could we get the PowerPoint going? And we're looking at step number 5 today. And step number 5 says, now that we have made some decisions. Last week, I passed out those sheets of paper, and you wrote some decisions on that paper. And some of us, hopefully, who were indecisive became decisive. Remember I said on Tuesday, whether you're ready or not, Tuesday is coming, and we as a people are going to have to make a decision on the next president. In fact, why don't we say a short prayer for him right now, because Lord knows he needs it. I mean, we made history, but guess what? He has inherited a ton of economic difficulties, but with God on our side, who can be against us? Let's pray a short prayer for our president-elect now. Father, in the name of Jesus, you said we're supposed to pray for kings and for all those who are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. We pray for the man who's been selected into this office. Regardless of who's there, oh God, you're able to turn the heart of the king wherever you will. We're asking you to do it now. I'm asking you to surround President-elect Obama with men and women of good counsel. Surround him with godly men and women who is going to help him lead this country to life, not death, not destruction. Many issues that are facing us, oh God, and we don't depend on, we certainly can't depend on our government. We can't even depend upon the bills that come out of it. We can't depend upon even the tax money that's been set aside, which has almost seemed to have been for naught. But our confidence is not in our economy. Our confidence is not even in a president. Our confidence is in you. And so simply by praying for him, we believe that we will continually be a godly nation led by God, despite who's there. So we want to say thank you, Lord. We pray for him, encourage him, build him up, cause him to have wisdom beyond his years. We pray that he will vote and lead and bring into legislation things that are appropriate for our country and for the gospel to be spread. He's already met with Christian pastors. I'm encouraged by that. Our prayer is that he'll continue to do so. Father, not only do I pray for kings and priests of our nation, I also pray for the men and women of God across this nation, particularly in this area of Northern Virginia, that we might press forth in presenting the gospel in a way that people will be persuaded to say yes. And not only in word, but also in deed. Simply by praying, we believe that is so. We agree together that these things surely doth come to pass now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. We looked at an astounding scripture last week. I want to run it by you again. It would help if I turn this on. We actually want to look at an astounding scripture. Remember, we looked at the scripture in Job 22 and 28. The Bible said, we decree a thing, it shall be established unto us, as it is in the King James. We looked at that version in the NIV. Into my astoundment, it says, whatever you decide on will be done. So my question to you is, what did you decide on this week? Remember, we filled out a piece of paper. I'm encouraging you to take now steps, because faith requires corresponding action. And our step last week was to make a decision towards life. Some of you made a decision to go back to school. Have you enrolled yet? Some made a decision we were going to love our wives better. Did you take her out? Some made a decision we were going to love our husbands more closely. What'd you do special for him? You see what I'm saying? Now we're at the crux. We've gone through four steps here. Step one, we said, you really need to base your life upon the word of God. Why? Because it's eternal, incorruptible seed of the word of God. It won't fail. So you can base your life on things that you think or things you hear on the television or something you heard from somebody. But if you base your life on this word, you can't fail. Because we're going somewhere. Destination life. Amen? So we said, first of all, we need to base our life upon the word. And then that doesn't say anything about us. Now we need to overhaul our thinking. We need to meditate upon that word of God, so that then our emotions will even line up now with the word of God. Because your emotion's going to take you somewhere. It's designed to. What is an emotion? It's a feeling on the inside caused by pain or pleasure, designed to move you in a direction. Remember, Eve got touched emotionally. She looked at the fruit and, boy, it looked enticing to her. Why? Because she meditated on it. She should have cast that word of Satan down. We got to do the same thing. We have to cast some words down. And on the contrary, we need to meditate upon God's word so that we'd be like Jesus. He had emotions. He wept. He went into the temple and actually turned that place right side up, driving out the evil out of the place, because he said, my house should be a house of prayer for all people. What drove him to do that? A passion. He got his emotions in line with God's word. He is the word of God, right? So he got his passions, his emotions in line with the word. We do too. Now, whether you know it or not, you're going to make some decisions based on how you feel. Whether you think so or not. You're making decisions all the time, whether they're conscious or not. And so what we're trying to do, what does the Bible says? 3 John 2, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy what? Soul. God wants your soul involved. Your thinking, your will, your emotions. See, up until now, you've been thinking emotions is all bad. No, use your emotions for good. Get passionate about the things of God. Some people got so upset about so many abortions in our nation, they did something about it. When you get upset enough about the sin in your life, you'll do something about it. And not before. When you get tired of being broke, busted, and disgusted, you'll do something about it. But only till you get to that point. See, emotions are designed to move you. Let's allow it to move us in the right direction. So now, the scripture says, I tell you, it's powerful. Job 22:28, whatever you decide on, that's what's going to be done. And the more you decide on, the more will be done. So what did you decide on last week? And here's the crux. This is what happens on Sunday morning. There is more deception that happens on Sunday morning than any other day of the week. We come to church, hear the word of God, get soaked up with the word of God. I mean, you hear the preach word of God, you get all excited. Somebody shout and dance. And then you're asking, well, what did you get in church today? I don't know, but it was good. It felt good. What is our next step? Because faith without some corresponding action, and that's what we're talking about today. We're at the point now, you're at the crux now. This is the crux. We have turned the corner. Next, we're going to talk about habits. How many of you know that habits are going to take you to your destination, or it's going to keep you out? Habits is going to help determine what kind of character you have. You have to have character to get you into and to stay in your destiny. See, we're going there one step at a time. You don't fall into sin, you step into sin. You also don't fall into your destiny, we step into it. Which is the reason why we're doing 8 steps. You're doing them every day. You don't realize it. We might as well get it working for us. Amen? Might as well get it working for us. So we looked at Job 22, 28. What you decide on will be done. Turn to James, not Luke. Turn to James chapter 2. We'll get to Luke chapter 2 a little bit later on. All right? So we're talking about today about taking steps. Taking steps. You want to live a victorious life in Christ, right? Come to church every Sunday. Get into life group. That's why we have them. Come out to the victory campaign. I heard you said it. You said you wanted to be on fire for God. And you said, I can be on fire for God if there are more people on fire for God. Guess what? At victory campaign, you're going to find people on fire for God. So you need to make a decision. See? I'm going. Have you committed yet? Have you talked to your life group leader? Have you said, I'm committed? I'm going? I ain't get a lot of amens on that. See, what I'm doing is trying to, you said, you expect me as a pastor to push you, but you got to go. I can only lead you there to drink, but you got to drink. That's right. I've heard your request. You said, disciple me. I want to be like Christ. I heard that prayer. Don't you hear that prayer? Do you show up for discipleship? Yes. Are you pressing? Are you pushing? That's right. This is where take action comes in. That's right. Are you there at James? Did I say James? Before we get to James, let me build you up in the Word of God. You might want to just jot some of these down. The Bible says, is anything too hard for God? This is what God said. He came down in the form of an angel, and he said, I'll return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah laughed. We're talking about Abram and Sarah. God said, you'll have this son a year from now. They had the promise, what, 24 years before. Nothing had happened. You know how it gets when we get a little weary? And God came down in angelic form and said, is there anything too hard for God? I like the Word of God because he answers our question for us. In Jeremiah 32 and 17, the Bible says, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. So God answers his own question. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, I know you're going through some issues. And with man, it might seem impossible, but not with God. Say it with me. Say, with God. All things are possible with God. Mark 10, 27. I'd write that down if I were you. Let's see if I've got the next one up here. I think I do. I want to show you this one right here. You need to take this one home with you. You need to meditate on this one all week. Starting right now. It's found in Luke 1:37, Amplified version. I'm putting up on the screen because most of us don't have an Amplified. But the Bible says, for with God, what? Nothing. Come on, read it with me. It's ready, read. For with God, nothing is ever what? Impossible. And no word from God shall be without what? Power or impossible. Did you hear that? The Word of God is powerful. There's nothing too hard for God. No word is impossible for fulfillment. That means God's going to bring it to pass. If God said it, bank on it. That's why we started with step one. Bank your life on the Word of God. You're okay then. It is incorruptible seed. It's powerful. God created the world with a word. And you need to do the same thing. What have you been decreeing this week? I decree stuff every day. Are you making your confessions? Are you establishing your day? Are you declaring what your day, each day, is going to be like? Are you doing that? God is giving you the right. He said, you choose this day what you would like, life or death. You choose. Isn't that wonderful? God gave us the choice. Now, I say, where to go? We are actually going to James chapter 2. Start reading verse 17. I'm reading from the NIV. Are you there? All right. James 2, chapter 2, verse 17. In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by action is dead, or faith without works is dead. Let's skip down to verse 21. Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working what? Together. And his faith was made what? Complete by what he did. We're talking today about now taking action. We based our life on the word. We've got our emotions in check now. We've decided on some things. Now it's time to move. It's time to take a step. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled. Let's go back to verse 22. You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was what? Fulfilled. That says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He was called what? The friend of God. Verse 24, this is one I want to dwell on. You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone. Did you get that? You see, a person is justified by what he does. Let's break this down. The word there, faith, actually comes from the Greek word pistis. Say that with me. I know it sounds kind of strange, but say that with me. Say pistis. It's not what it sounds like. It's a Greek word. And I want to break it down because, you know, I think faith there is probably a better word there for it. Pistis in the Greek, translated faith here, is actually a conviction of the truth of something. In this case, a truth about divine things. What conviction? We have a conviction that God exists and that he is the creator and the ruler of this world in our lives. We also have a conviction that Jehovah Jireh is our provider. And that's the conviction it's talked about. I have a conviction that God's really going to take care of me. I like the thing that Brad said, and you really need to come down to the Victory Campaign, so that your faith can be built up. Brad, you'll know that God revealed unto me the blessing even before Brother Kenneth Copeland started preaching it. Praise God. And we just came out of the blessing series a month or two ago. So we learned a few weeks ago that we have to make God our source of supply. Yes, right. Because you can't depend on this economy. I went over to a shopping center yesterday, and there was a salon, and I was wondering why they weren't open. I went over to it and had a sign on the door, and it says, because of the current economic conditions, we have now closed this store. But I looked across the street, and there was another salon, still had their doors open. You choose. Are you going to keep your store open? Are you still going to put gas in your car? You choose. What you decide on. You hear what I'm saying? And so today we need to start taking some steps based on what we've been hearing so far. Amen? Because we can get up to the point and actually deceive ourselves unless we take a... That's right. We need to take a step. That's right. So this word pistis, translated faith here, is actually a conviction of some truths about God. That he's our provider, he exists, he's our creator, he's the ruler of all things. It's actually a strong belief. So I would like for us to consider this translation. A person is justified by what he does and not just by his convictions. Now, let me break it down. Because you believe that God has for you the abundant life. Amen? But now, is that just a conviction? Or are you now going to take a step based on that? See, I believed years ago that God had the blessing in store for us, and he was going to bless my family, and that God was my provider years ago. So I wasn't afraid to take a step and start that business that God had placed in my heart. Planned it a whole year, and even though when things didn't start off the way I did, I still had confidence in God. It was more than just conviction. I added my faith to it. Faith is what? Stepping out on what you believe. And this is where we are today. Step five is, you believe the word of God. The devils believe. What advantage do you have? You now need to take some steps based on what you believe. I'm just using this as an illustration. I took my honey out Friday night. I take my honey out every Friday night. I did something a little special this week. And she's saying, don't say no more. You see, one's a conviction, I love my wife. The other is, I'm going to put into action. My wife said this to me. Now, maybe some other men can identify. I said, honey, I love you. You know I love you. And she said, prove it. Man, have your wife ever said that? Prove it. And I'm saying, honey, I married you, didn't I? I've been with you for 31 years. And this was a few years ago. She didn't say it anymore. It was a long time ago. Been with her for 10, 20 years now. Prove it. What do you mean prove it? I do it every day. I go to work. You ever see me with another woman? Do I hang out at night? I don't do none of this stuff. But she still say prove it. Why is she saying that? Because one's a conviction, the other is an action, and you actually prove your conviction by your actions. You know how Abraham was? He believed God. Now God said, prove it. Do you notice how God put the man to the test? He wanted to say, Abraham, are you really like me? And the same thing for you, Life Church. This is where we're going. We are a faith-based church. Amen? If God said it, we believe it. You know, if God's put in the conviction in our heart, we need to go back to school. All right, let's go back to school. Let's enroll. Let's study. Let's get a study partner if we need to. You see what I'm saying? We're putting action behind what we believe. Yes. Now, if God said that he's going to meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, we believe that, right? And yet, if we find ourselves still lacking, our needs not still met, maybe we need to take a step. That's right. Have you been on that job interview? Are you looking? Have you sharpened your resume? Are you afraid to now, how do I put this? Are you afraid to tell the employer what you want to make? The Bible said what you decide on. We listened to last week's message. It said what you decide on will be done. I want us to do this. I want us to go into the future. And I want us to call ourselves back and tell ourselves, encourage ourselves, tell ourselves what it looks like. I heard this testimony of Billy Brim. She said she flew to Australia once. And as you fly to Australia, and Brother Desmond helped me understand this last night, because Brother Desmond is from Australia. And I said, help me understand this international dateline and how the day changes when you cross that dateline. So she said she went over to Australia, and it changed the day. And she called her son back in America. Over here in America, it was Sunday. She was in Monday. So she called her son back from the future. Now, Lakeisha, why don't you begin to look into the future and encourage yourself? Look back and say, Lakeisha, you know that health issue that you believe in God for, that you believe you receive. I'm here to tell you, Lakeisha, I'm in the future. I thought I'd call you back, and I thought I'd tell you, I've seen the doctor's report. He's confirmed it. He's run the test, and I'm looking at the confirmation. You're healed in manifestation. Sometimes we need to call ourselves back from the future and encourage ourselves. Yes. See, I'm the kind of guy, go to the doctors. Thank God for doctors. Weren't for doctors, some of us would be dead. Thank God for doctors. Go to the doctor so he can confirm what you received. That's right. Leroy needs to encourage himself. So Leroy got up on the phone and he called himself. He got his voicemail, but he left himself a voicemail and said, Leroy, man, I'm sitting here. I'm looking at the offer letter. You know the one you believe in God for? I'm looking at the offer letter. There are no contingencies on the letter. It's for the money you decided on. Woo! The one that you said was going to be done. I'm looking at the offer right here. Man, I'm encouraging you. Keep on believing that you receive. Amen. Sometimes we need to encourage ourselves. David encouraged himself in the Lord. I'm saying maybe we need to go in our future, look back, call ourselves, and tell ourselves what it looks like. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Shaquita. Shaquita, girl, you need to call yourself from the future. Yes. Shaquita called herself, and she said, Shaquita. I know you believe in God for the business and for things to turn around. I'm sitting at the executive desk right now. I'm looking at the checks. I'm looking at the cash. And what you've been believing for, I'm looking at it in manifestation. I'm encouraging you, girl, don't have any doubt. Keep on believing that you receive. I'm in your future and I see it. Sometimes we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Sometimes it takes an action. Amen. Some of you who knows how to wield their sword, would you go to Leviticus chapter 13? The rest of us, would you turn to turn to Luke chapter 17. Okay. Those of you who knows how to really wield the word of God, turn to Leviticus 13. The rest of us, you can just turn to Luke 17 because we're going to go there. All right. We want to set up the story here for the 10 lepers. And so let's go back and look at the Levitical code and find out what it really means here. We're at Leviticus chapter 13 for those of us who really knows how to wield that sword. Leviticus 13, we'll start reading verse 1. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, and the Bible says, then the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling or a scab or a bright spot, and it becomes an infection of leprosy, we're talking about leprosy, on the skin of his body, then he should be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons the priest. In other words, if you find yourself with leprosy of something, go present yourself to the priest. Verse 3. The priest shall look at the mark on the skin of the body, and if the hair in the infection has turned white, and the infection appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is an infection of leprosy. Then the priest has looked at him, and he shall pronounce him what? Unclean. Verse 4. But if the bright spot is white in the skin of his body, and it does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and the hair on it has not turned white, then the priest shall isolate him who has the infection for what? 7 days. Verse 5, and then the priest shall look at him on the 7th day, and if in his eyes the infection has not changed and the infection has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall isolate him what? For another 7 days. The priest shall look at him again on the 7th day, and if the infection has faded and the mark has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him what? Clean. It is only a scab. Say your scab. Let's go on. And he shall wash his clothes and be what? Clean. Verse 7. But if the scab spreads farther on the skin after he has shown himself to the priest for his cleansing, he shall appear again to the what? To the priest. And the priest shall look. And if the scab has spread over the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is what? It is leprosy. Now let's skip down to verse 45. We'll see what the pronouncement of someone who has this thing called leprosy, how they're supposed to act. Verse 45. As for the leper who has the infection, his clothes shall be torn. How do you recognize a leper? His clothes will be torn. And the hair on his head shall be uncovered. How do you recognize a leper? Uncovered head. And he shall cover his mustache and cry. What is he supposed to cry? Unclean, unclean. This is what a leper is supposed to proclaim. Verse 46, and our last verse here, back in the Levitical code, he shall remain unclean all the days during which he has this infection. He is what? He is unclean. He shall live how? He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. All right? That's the Levitical code talking about leprosy. Now let's go over to the New Testament, Luke chapter 17, and let's look at these 10 men who had this plague called leprosy. Let's start reading at verse 11. I'm reading now from the NIV. Are you there? Say amen if you're there. Okay, we're at Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, how many men? 10 men who had what? Leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice. Where they cry out? Are you there? Luke chapter 17, we're at verse 13 now. And he called out in a loud voice and they said what? They said, unclean, unclean, right? Now, we just read the Levitical code. This is what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to have torn clothes, you know, heads uncovered. They're supposed to live alone outside the camp, and they're supposed to cry when somebody comes, unclean, unclean. You know why? Because they don't want it to be transmitted to somebody else. However, they are supposed to present themselves to the priest. The priest is supposed to look at what they have. They expected the man to be healed because they said the priest would come back in 7 days. Did you catch that? They expected, they knew who Jehovah Rapha was. And even though, come on now, encourage yourself. Even though you don't have the manifestation now, the man of God is coming back in 7 days. Are you with me? And then if he comes back in 7 days and you're still not healed yet, they're still expecting the man to get healed. If you're not healed, then they'll come back again in another 7 days. You're expecting to be healed, but you don't want to put everybody else at risk. You see what I'm saying? Now, first of all, these 10 lepers were supposed to say, unclean, unclean. We read the Levitical code. They knew what they were supposed to do. They're supposed to be outside the camp, for one thing. They up here coming to meet Jesus at a distance, but they in the camp. And they crying out.
were they supposed to cry out? Instead, what did they cry out? Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. Something has happened. Something is superseding now the Old Testament law. We're talking about these steps now, which are going to lead you to your destiny. And something has occurred here, because now they're not following protocol. Somewhere they heard a word. This Jesus, he's a healer. It just changed everything. They begin to meditate upon this thing, because now out of their mouth it's not coming unclean. It's now coming, Jesus, have mercy on me. Man, there are emotions involved in this thing. Now step three. You see how we're going? I got the word on this subject. Jesus is my healer. Jehovah Rapha is the God that healeth me. I meditate on this thing. This is mine now. It's in my heart. I planted this seed. And out of the abundance of my heart, I'm passionate now, because I'm not going to say unclean anymore. Did you hear that? I'm not speaking fact. I'm speaking truth now. All right. I'm not going to say I'm unclean anymore, because I'm expecting something. I'm emotionally in charge. In fact, they have made a decision. Yes. Step four. They're not following protocol anymore. They're passionate. Yes. And let's see where Jesus goes with this thing. Jesus has a habit of recognizing somebody with faith. Yes. Yes. He didn't rebuke him. He's a priest. He didn't rebuke him. Let's go on in the story here. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when Jesus saw them, he said, what? He said, go show yourselves to the priest. 7 days has not gone by yet. Now, Jesus said, I didn't come to cancel the law. I came to fulfill it. So here's the fulfillment of the law. The law says you have a right to be healed. Yes. And Jesus said, you don't have to wait 7 more days. Go show yourself to the priest now. Now he's expecting us to take the move. The ball's now in our court. What am I going to do? Am I going to wait 7 days? Yeah. Am I going to proclaim unclean? Yes. But these men said, no, I'm now ready to go to step five. I'm now ready to take a step. Jesus has invited me to go see the priest. Read it for yourself. What the scripture says? And as they went, what happened? Yes. They didn't get cleansed until they took a. Come on. We know it's step five now. You got to take some action. Yes. Because you're deceiving yourself. If you believe God's a healer now, so far, you meditate on the thing. You're passionate about it. You made a decision. You declared yourself healed. You might need to take another step. You might need to go to healing school. You might need to come down to the altar. You might have to call the man of God. You might have to say, bring the oil with you. I'm not sure what your step is, but you know what your step is. You made a decision last week. Now it's time to make a decision. I made a decision last week. I was going to start my exercise. I said I was going to start jogging. 5 days went by. I went jogging yesterday. We got to start somewhere. The message today is now we need to take a step. Now let's go on in the story here. The Bible says, as they went, they were what? One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back praising God in a what? Come on now. See, there are some churches that's real quiet and solemn, and we're here to honor God. And yes, you do want to honor God. And then there's some churches like the Life Church that just get loud. Praise God. Why? Because God has, come on now, God has done too much for us to keep it to ourselves. I just got to tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. And this man said, I can't keep going on. I've got to come back to praise him. I wonder if we have any praises in the house. Some of us need to go to the next level and stop being so quiet. We might just have to get loud. Yes. Nothing wrong with that. Lady's going to come next week, and she might be a little, you know, sedate on the timbrels and on the drums. And then sometimes you need to be like Michael and just boom, boom. Yes. You might need to praise God aloud with your hands, with your voice. You say it don't take all that. It takes all that and more. Yes. God's just been too good. If we need to lay prostrate before the Lord, we lay prostrate before the Lord. Why? Because he's that good. You said you wanted destiny, didn't you? You said you wanted to be healed. You said you wanted all of your needs met in the midst of an economy where they say things are going down. Is that your confession? No, my confession is God meets all of my needs. Why? According to his riches and glory. See, we're of a different economy. That's fact. We live in truth. We live in a whole new kingdom. And you'll get the manifestation of that kingdom when you begin to act out on what you believe. Otherwise, it's like deceiving ourselves. Jesus looked at the situation. He says, where are the other nine? Are you listening to me? I want the quiet praisers. I used to be a quiet praiser. I grew up in the Methodist church. And all of a sudden, I got over into a Pentecostal charismatic church. And I saw them raising their hands, shouting and praising all over the place. And, you know, dancing before the Lord. All that was new to me. But when God came in and changed my life, everything changed. Everything changed. And so I'm ministering this morning, this particular word, to the quiet praisers. Be free to let loose. And give God the glory. It says right here, Jesus was expecting the other nine to come back and be loud praisers. It's in the word. Amen? So that's what we need to do. We looked at last week, Jairus. Now, he was the ruler of the synagogue, but yet he went to find the shepherd man. Yes. And wasn't afraid to kneel down before him. How about you this morning? Sometimes we need to humble ourselves before God. And Jairus said, you're not going anywhere, Jesus. My daughter's lying sick right now unto death. But if you'll come, lay your hands on her, she will be healed. He made a decision. He stepped out on that decision. How about the woman with the issue of blood? She meditated that thing. She knew the word. And she said, if I just touch. And that was part of her step. She said, if I but touch. She rehearsed it so much, it just came out of her. She was moved. She didn't care the fact that she could get stoned out there. And she touched the hem of his garment. When are you supposed to be there? And she took virtue from the man. Do you see that? She took her step. I'm not sure what your step is this morning. But we're here now. We're at the crux. We preach the word. We meditate upon the word. We know what we decided on. And you need to be like me. If 5 days have gone by, you still need to take an action. You still need to begin to take an action. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to take an action right now. James, the Bible says in 1:22, it says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. The Bible says you deceive yourselves. It is a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. You want to be blessed, right? You're going to have to do the word. I'm going to give the opportunity right now to step out. Could we lower the lights in the room? Colleague, could you come to the keyboard? I'm going to give you an action step right now. I'm not sure what that action step is for you. But I'm going to give the opportunity. Every head is bowed right now. Every eye is closed. You know what you're facing right now. You know what is required. You know what your step is to attain your destination life. You know what that is. What is that? I want to encourage you this morning. I want to give you the opportunity to step out on it. Praise God. Your eyes are still closed. I want to make an altar call right now. In the name of Jesus, you know what your next step is. If you'd like for me to agree with you on this step, come on down now. We're at the Life Church. Be free. Praise the Lord. You believe in God for healing in your body? Come on down. You believe in God for finances? Come on down. You believe in God to take it to the next step? Come on down. If you need some encouragement, come on down. If you're under addiction, you can't handle, you can't find the breaks, come on down. There's an anointing. Would you come on up here? There's an anointing of God available. You come on down, you get in on it. Praise the Lord. Scripture says there is nothing impossible with God. With God, all things are possible. Say this with me. Say, dear God, I'm looking for you to do the impossibility in my life. Today, I'm making myself a phone call from the future. I'm going to tell myself, come on, say it with me. I'm going to tell myself what it looks like on the other side. Now, you got to believe you receive that. Never doubt, never give up. Amen? Let's give God a praise for that.